Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lanham for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. You know, I'm very fortunate to get to chat with all sorts of business leaders and professionals about an array of topics. And I admit it, right? Everyone, but here's the thing, everyone has a unique idea or something, but they're very similar. My guests often say that relationships and people are the most important thing to them. And I'm down with that. I'm into that. I agree with it. People are important. The ability to build relationships and maintain those relationships has a lot to do with being how to be successful or becoming successful in life. But there is a reality. Things don't always go smoothly. Not everyone gets along. We all know that. Not everyone gets along. Do all your family members get along? Do all your friends at work get along or your work people get along? No, not everybody gets along, and for very different reasons. Sometimes you meet somebody and for whatever reason, you just don't like them. Here's the interesting thing. Your body language and the actions you take actually say so. You might even not be aware of it, but the person's probably aware of the fact that you just decided not to like them. Other times it's a matter of that you're disagreeing with somebody on something, maybe at work. You know, they took an approach to solving a problem that you just didn't agree with, or even a decision that they made that impacted the decisions that you made or the decisions of others around you. So there's impact all the way. Other times it might be just simply as us, you and me individually, our attitude towards a topic, an idea, a thought, a book we read, a movie we saw, or just a conversation at work overall. Our attitude towards our work maybe is even further down there. Or maybe we just simply had a bad day. You know, we've all had that, right? We've thought it, we felt it, we acted on it, and we got a negative result. It happens. How many people have had a bad day? I know sometimes when I have a bad dream at night, I wake up in the morning not in such a good mood, and sometimes I end up creating conflict with my significant other, my spouse. You know, that's not always a good thing first thing in the morning. No matter the issue or the circumstances, we all have done something that has put us into conflict with a person or maybe even ourselves individually, right? Conflict, though, is a natural part of life. There's good conflict, there's bad conflict. And I guess it's important to start to know the difference and handle conflict better. So you can sort of guess what we're going to talk about today topic-wise. We're going to talk about conflict. We're going to talk about workplace conflict. We're going to talk about personal conflict. You know what? We're just going to try to cut conflict up a little bit and figure out exactly all the different types of conflict that we're involved in with our guest, Pat Hurst. And Pat is a practice leader, and I'll get her to tell you a little bit more about herself. But she's also author in a book called, and I love the title, In a Perfect World. Wouldn't you love a perfect world? In a Perfect World. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Richard. It's great to be here today.
I'm so glad to have you here, actually, Pat. You know, I've had the privilege to get to know you over some years now, so yes. I do get to get the knowledge and wisdom of Pat when I cross your path. But for our listeners, maybe we could just sort of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, sure. I think one of the things that's maybe relevant about me is I'm a boomer like you. And so, you know, I come with all that experience and living in a large group. Like I was raised with five other kids. So I always say I grew up in a workshop.
And I grew up around six.
There you go.
Big
and
family.
So conflict was a part of our lives from the beginning. And after my business degree, I started working in sales and marketing. And what I found as when I got into leadership, lots of times people said, you don't want anyone in your department to know that you've got any conflict because people will think you're a bad manager.
Yeah, and that's probably not the case, right? Let's go a little bit further back, though, in terms of yourself personally. Tell us a little bit about yourself as a Winnipegger, because you are a Winnipegger,
well,
right?
Well, I'm originally from around Carmen, Manitoba, actually raised in a rural area, took a university at University of Manitoba, and worked here for a few years in the transportation sector. And then I moved out to Vancouver from 1988 till 1995.
Okay, and so you spent some time out there and you came back, and boy, what a boom they've had out there in terms of real estate and everything.
I mean, lots of conflict out there, too. It's getting crowded.
It is. You know, it's funny you would say that. My wife and I used to live there for a while, too. We lived in BC for about 10 years, Lower Mainland, originally from around here. But it was amazing that, you know, you'd spend two and a half hours a day in your car going one way. Right.
Yes.
And so that was a while ago, right? Yeah. And so you could, you could definitely experience that. Now, Pat, I do know you run your own company right now.
I'd like
to sort of talk a bit about that because you're involved in, I'm going to just say the consulting field, but I'm going to let you sort of take it off from there. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I spend most of my time speaking at conferences, talking about conflict resolution, leadership, communication. I also have a thriving practice with going into companies, working with leaders and employees to highlight all these areas of leadership, assertion, really how to get along and make things work.
Make things overwork overall. Yeah. Now, conflict's a pretty big word, right?
It is.
And so, you know, even when I do my writing, I always like to start off with a definition. So how would you define conflict?
Well, as I was going to say, too, one of my other hats is I'm a mediator.
That's right.
And so... So as a mediator, I usually say that conflict happens when we have a difference of opinion and there's negative emotion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so conflict happens when we have a different opinion and there's negative emotion.
And negative emotion.
Can you give us an example of something like
that? Well, there's all kinds of things in the workplace because I do primarily workplace mediation when I mediate, and things like you're taking my work. So work roles and responsibilities, people fight about quite a bit. Also, people focus on, I call it organizational communication. You should tell me when things happen that impact my job. So if you don't tell me, if you don't cut me in on an email or that kind of thing, then are you sabotaging me?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. And also people, you know, rub each other the wrong way. So personality differences. And I find most of the time with personality differences, people kind of brush it off as personality. Not everybody gets along. But when you're working together for 2 or 5 or 10 years, it's really what is the behavior of the person that is impacting you. So it might be perfume. It might be loud music. It might be just the way that someone talks to each other.
That's amazing you'd say that. Or interesting you'd say that. I shouldn't say amazing. Interesting you would say that because you said perfume
and stuff
like that.
Yeah.
No, but I had this thought about food allergies, you know, for example, right? You know, you have somebody in your workplace who's allergic to nuts is a very common one. And it's not just they can't just eat them. It's the smell too, right? And so that could create conflicts is just not being aware that maybe the person in the cubicle 2 slots down or 3 slots down could have a major reaction to something like that.
Well, absolutely. And I think that conflict, 90% of it is perceptual. So we see something, somebody says something or does something, and we think about how we respond to it. So, you know, imagine when you're driving in your car and someone cuts you off. What a jackwagon. Yeah. Why did they do that for? And so... but maybe they didn't have, their intention really wasn't to cut you off. It was like, yikes, I missed my turn.
Yeah, and so, it could be. Then suddenly they made a quick decision, a snap decision that impacted you.
Yes. And so when we get upset, when we get that fight or flight response and get stressed or upset, we act as if however we feel is true. And lots of times it's not. Yeah.
At that point in time.
Yeah.
You know what? This is a good spot to take a break. And what we can do when we come back, we'll continue talking about conflict. And you did talk, Pat, a bit about organizational communication, roles and responsibilities, a bit about just the differences among people and just profile and our perception. So it sounds to me like we could go a lot deeper into all those things. So this is Richard Lanfer, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Pat Hurst. Now, Pat is a practice leader. I'm going to keep calling you that. You can add in another
cool beans,
title if
yeah.
you want. Cool beans. I love that expression you use. Cool beans. We've been talking a little bit about Pat's expertise and a book that she wrote called In a Perfect World, Interpersonal Skills for Life. Now, just before the break, Pat, we were chatting a little bit about organizational communication, roles and responsibilities, and then you start talking a little bit about perception and how perception comes in. But sounds to me like there's an aspect here that sort of starts when it comes to conflict about starting with ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could you maybe explain that a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. You noticed that I started the book off with starting with ourselves.
Yeah. And that's sort of the way I sort of decided to jump in here, bring you through the whole process and tell us something.
Absolutely. Because I started there because we are the ones that put meaning on everything that we see and hear. So we're interpreting other people's actions and inaction all the time.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to that, and you correct me, right?
Yeah, sure.
We won't have conflict here.
No, we won't.
I'll be very open.
Well, I can't get at you across the desk.
That's right. But our perception, I mean, we're always sort of evaluating all the time, but that evaluation that we have, is that always true evaluation or sometimes not so true?
Well, I think it's definitely true for us. Our perception is our reality. And where I start is really, I think that we tend to have a mindset on life that is one of three mindsets along a continuum. And the first end of it is passivity. And in the middle is assertion. And then we get all the way to aggression.
Okay.
And so when we're, you know, if we look at the world at the passive end, it's like, wow, I am always trying to do everything for everybody. I really accommodate other people. I try and get along. But you know what? Nobody ever does anything for me.
Oh, that almost sounds like you're a victim.
Well, it sure does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Right? And so when people have that mentality, when someone drives into their lane, they are darn it, they cut me off. If we move to the other end of the continuum, we get aggressive. And when we're aggressive, we believe that everybody should do what we want. And I don't know if you think
sounds good to me.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
You and maybe some people on the other side of the border, yeah. But that's a whole other story. We don't have time for that.
I know people shouldn't always do what I want them to do. It's okay. Yeah.
You don't hate it, though.
No, I
yeah,
don't hate
yeah.
it. No.
But so when we're aggressive, we really don't care about anybody else's rights. And we demand that people do things. And so our mindset then is, how dare you? Because my rights are more important than other people's. And what I really encourage people to do is to get in the middle in terms of a mindset, which is assertion. Because when you're on either end, passive, everything's a problem and you're a victim. When you're aggressive, everybody's a problem and you're unhappy. And when you're assertive, your mindset is really one around some rights.
Yeah,
and I believe in rights that I believe that we're all entitled to be respected just because we're human.
Yeah,
we're all human beings. Yeah,
yeah. Respect is an important part of life. Yeah.
So then the other part is if you subscribe to assertion, then you also believe that you're entitled to your own opinion. You're entitled to change your mind. You're entitled to say no. You don't agree with everything or you don't want to do everything. And you're also entitled to make mistakes because we're human and, we don't do everything perfectly all the time.
We all make mistakes. I mean, I think that's one of the big challenges about being human or being in a relationship is that it's not just a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Yes.
You're always going to make a mistake and that. Do people sometimes just sort of naturally, when we talk about passivity, assertion, and aggressive behavior, do people sort of naturally live in one area more than others?
Well,
or where do we tend to go?
I think that often people do. Tend to live in one area or the other. And especially when we get angry and into conflict, we often go to one end or the other.
So and we can be either come passive or aggressive?
Yes.
Or we become assertive?
It's a fight or flight response.
Sure.
So the fight response is aggressive. I'm going to get you and I'm going to get my way.
Yeah.
And the flight response is, woohoo, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
I don't
disappear
do
time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't do
and
this.
So it's kind of a blow up or a shut up kind of mentality on either end.
I'm curious though, because fight or flight has an interesting connotation to it because really it goes back to primitive cells.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
It really does. Like when you do research or read up on the brain and everything, and there's aspects of the brain, and we still have a primitive self.
Absolutely.
Fight or flight is sort of a primitive tendency, isn't
it? It is.
Not?
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah. Could you not, though, determine with what's going on a response like this is a situation where fight comes is right and this is a situation where flight's
right? Oh, I think,
right?
And I totally believe that that's the case.
Okay.
I think that people forget that assertion's even there at times. And to me, assertion is the step up, the productive way to think about, wow, if you and I have a disagreement, I could go, what do you mean you want me to do this? Get out of here.
Yeah,
that could be aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I could say, in an assertive way, wow, you've got a concern. I'm interested in understanding that because we're working together. So let's see what we can work
out.
Yeah,
so then we can talk about it or at least, but it sounds like you could at least acknowledge it. You might not agree to it. You might.
No.
I sometimes agree to disagree with people.
Sure.
And they're like, well, no, you need to agree with them. And I'm sitting there, extremely uncomfortable with you us not agreeing on this. Like, it's okay with me. I recognize, I respect your opinion and everything. Ain't for me, man.
Yeah.
So that sounds assertive.
Well, absolutely it does. And I think that's a challenge with people is sometimes they maybe aren't even aware that assertion is a choice.
Yeah.
And what I love about assertion and what I really encourage people, why I encourage them to be assertive is because it's about you respecting and looking after your own rights and interests. And if you believe that you've got rights to be respected, to have your opinion, to change your mind, etc., then the catch is you need to honor those rights and interests for other people.
Yeah.
So if you think that you should have an opinion, well, aren't you entitled to one as well?
Yeah, people have one
too. Whereas either end of the spectrum, passivity or aggression, when you're passive, other people are entitled to their opinion,
but you're not.
And aggression, I'm entitled to my opinion, but you're not. And we tend to take those strong stances when we're in conflict. So, in workplace conflicts, maybe it's the manager that says, hey, you know what? we're going to do things my way. Or two colleagues will argue about something, and the one that's got the most seniority, or the one that, you know, has the highest position, wants to, I'm entitled here.
I'm authority. Yeah. I've seen that, actually. I saw an executive one time slam his hand down on a boardroom table saying, at the end of the day, they didn't hire you to be the vice president.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually witnessed that one time in my career.
Yeah. So mediation as an intervention, because really I'm a workplace mediator. So mediation as an intervention goes in with the premise that people are entitled to have their opinions and everybody should be respected.
Maybe that's what we could do when we come back. We can talk about respecting everybody and using mediation. This is Richard Landfer, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. It's Richard Landon. I'm hanging out with Pat Hurst, and Pat is the author of In a Perfect World, Interpersonal Skills for Life. Now, Pat, just before the break, we were talking obviously about conflict. We were talking about passive aggressive behavior and assertiveness, you know, and we talked a little bit, some examples there of things that we've watched people do. And you started to talk a little bit about mediation. It appears that people can become really fixated on conflict. And is there a little bit more you can tell us about that fixation on conflict? Because I think people can. It's just like it gets under their skin and you know, inside them, and that's it. That's the space they're in.
Well, and definitely as a workplace mediator, I get called in not when things are rosy. I get called in when things have been going on for years.
For years. And if you're okay with me using an analogy here, because I know this is one that's used, it's the iceberg analogy where, you know, 80%, 90% of everything's underwater, and 10% on the top. So the explosion you see on the top was really something that was developed over a long period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we always say, you know, people are over 18, they should figure things out all by themselves and act like adults in the workplace. And when things have been going on for a long time, or even a short time, and people aren't sure what to do, we can help them in workplaces as leaders, you know, provide opportunity to discuss things. And I often say that bad conflicts are kind of like when your computer breaks down. I don't try and fix it myself. I call in my tech. And so same with...
Or you throw it at the wall.
Yeah, or you throw it at the wall. Yeah.
That's very aggressive.
But certainly mediation is a way to have people who have experience to come in to help you and your organization resolve things.
Resolve their conflict.
Yeah, and mediation isn't arbitration where someone makes a decision. It's about creating a process where people can actually explain their side of a conflict and actually start to understand each other, because so much of conflict is in our heads.
Yeah, it's understanding self and others.
Yeah, and it's people, I often say everybody gets psychic when we come into conflict, because they know, I know what they're thinking. Well, did they tell you? No, I just know, you know? Yeah. So it's really about how do we express things to each other in a way, sometimes even when it's painful or we feel disrespected and we're pretty scared still to do that. It's uncomfortable.
It's a lot of communication skills. I want to go back to a point that you said about you're 18 now, you're an adult, so everybody should get along as an adult. It brought me back. I did a gig for a while at a place called Pan Canadian, which is now owned by Incana, so a large corporation. But I worked for this team leader, group leader, manager, senior guy. Mm-hmm. And he turned the place into the team that I was with. Every day was like going to a daycare. And it was unbelievable. But like we all went and played as adults.
It
was just fascinating. I don't recall ever having any major conflict in that work environment. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, being an adult is always a good thing. I guess that was my point.
Well, and I when I say that too, it's the expectation that people should solve their problems in kind of a vacuum, even when you're in a workplace culture. And often it's our workplace cultures that create problems, and work processes create problems that create conflict. Yeah. So, and that's really why I wrote the book, because I've spent years being a workplace mediator, and I thought, I have had the benefit and the privilege of being with people in really tough spaces. And, you know, you can live life the easy way or the hard way. And there's lots of things that you can do to minimize conflict in the first place and then deal with it productively when it does happen.
When work on it, yeah.
And I'm a big believer in the trinity of behaviors. Like, I get the phone calls when people are fighting and yelling and not showing up for work. And so what I encourage people to do is the trinity of behaviors, and that is connect in the first place, develop good, solid relationships with people, healthy relationships, because when you invest in healthy relationships, then you've got trust, and then you're willing to give each other, cut some slack for each other when things don't go well. Yeah. You give people the benefit of the doubt. Then the other thing I like to talk about is evolving. Because when we get into a conflict, we always think, that other guy better smarten up. But often, we're contributing to the conflict.
It doesn't sound like something you'd say to your teenage kids. You better smarten up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
like, I mean,
Who hasn't, right?
What parent hasn't, right? So, go ahead.
So what I was going to say was, we need to recognize to have healthy relationships, or we don't need to. It's much more effective if you realize and are aware what you contribute positively or negatively to a relationship. So am I aware of where I am around the spectrum, along the spectrum of passivity, aggression, assertion? Because if I'm aggressive with people, my tone of body language is going to be aggressive. If I'm passive with people, it's going to be passive. But if I'm assertive, I'm going to have a healthier interaction with people, and people are probably going to understand me better.
Okay.
And so, in terms of evolution, are we even aware of how we come across to other people? Are we aware of our word choice, you know, with people? Because I always say, as a mediator, whatever you think in your head leaks out in your tone and body language, because most of us aren't very good actors. So we can be saying the right words, but if we're thinking that we're not so happy with somebody, our tone and body language and facial expression will typically betray us.
It's interesting you would say that. I was watching an interview, a documentary on one of the networks the other evening, and they were interviewing an FBI agent, and he was a specialist in behavioral psychology and behavioral analysis. And he actually said that the body part that never lies is your feet. He says he was talking about the fact that if somebody's lying, or if there's something else going on, your face and everything will actually show it. And what your mind thinks, your mouth will, you know, it'll just come out, right?
Yes.
But what your feet do tell the truth, which I thought was always fascinating. So you can tell if somebody wants to run away, or if they're into somebody with the way their feet are pointed, or if they're off the one side, or I just took it down a little bit.
But
it goes to the heart of the body language.
It totally does. And it goes to evolution. Are you actually aware of what you're saying and how you're interacting with people?
Yeah.
And if you're not, are you willing to evolve and change? Because if we're going to have a healthy relationship, it's really me realizing, if I'm doing something that's negatively impacting you, why do I keep doing it?
Yeah, why do you keep
why
doing it?
Why do I? Yeah. So
you need to look at it and see why. Now, you were talking about the Trinity. So I got healthy relationships, so building trust with healthy relationships, and I got evolution of those relationships.
Yeah.
Did I get the right three things?
What did I miss? It's really about connecting in the first place.
Okay,
connecting. Build healthy relationships in the first place. Get off your phone, you know, and texting, and spend time. You and I are having a great chat today.
Yeah, we have some microphones in front of us.
But we're here with each other
in the eyes, and we're connecting and everything.
We're present right now.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then evolution is, are you willing to change to make your relationships better? Are you waiting for everybody else to change?
Yeah.
Because you can really make a huge difference in terms of having healthy relationships with people. And then the third part of the Trinity is resolving. Because it doesn't matter what family, what workplace, or what community you live in, we're not going to agree all the time. And so conflict in and of itself isn't a bad thing. It's how we deal with it that's good or bad. And so there's all kinds of ways that we can, you know, problem solve and be assertive. And if we need help, there's people to help us in our workplaces and families if we reach out for that. But if you keep things to yourself, if you bottle it up, right? Yeah, because I think whatever we feed in our life grows. And if we feed everything that's negative, that's our experience.
It's interesting you would say that, because I would agree. I took the 30-day affirmation challenge recently. And the 30-day affirmation challenge was basically every day, every morning when you get up, no matter what's going on, you got to sit down and write out five affirmations, five positive things, right? And it's amazing how that sort of alters your thinking about the day, right? I mean, so you're thinking it's going to be a terrible day, but you're forced to write an affirmation how wonderful the day is going to be. Guess what happens, right? You start to I guess address that day that way. I hope that sort of works with what we're talking about.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, what I often say to people too in conflict is, what a wonderful country we live in. I mean, Canada is wonderful.
It is. We got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to hang out with Pat a little bit more and talk about conflict and how to resolve conflict. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Set. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out today with my new best friend, Pat Hurst. And Pat is wrote a book called In a Perfect World, Interpersonal Skills for Life. I made you laugh.
You did.
I always call everybody my best friend by the time I get to segment.
Connecting, chatting
about stuff and everything. I think it's good. We have to create relationships, right? And so it's all good. We were talking, I guess, actually at the last segment and during the break. It's always great to have these breaks in the commercials because we have this whole dialogue that goes on.
We
right?
do.
And so we started talking about conflict and approaches to dealing with it and that. And then just, you know, in terms of the working world overall. So you mentioned the importance of acknowledgement. And I thought that that would be a good place to sort of start off on. What's the whole key around acknowledgement when it comes to conflict?
Well, oftentimes conflict, especially in workplaces, but even in our families, can be like the elephant in the room.
Oh,
nobody's naming it, right?
Yeah.
And so first step is just to say, you know what? I got a problem. Or I think we have a problem. And yet we often just bury it, hide it.
Well, the elephant in the room,
Till we can't anymore.
Tell us the moose on the table.
The moose on the table.
Yeah, I use three words, actually. I got to share this with you now.
Okay, please.
Elephant, monkey, moose. Right? And so elephant in the room.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Monkey on your back. Right? Moose on the table. Like moose on the table. It's like, you know, you're driving down the highway. There's a moose on the road.
You cannot ignore it.
You can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so we really have a hard time expressing ourselves in a respectful way. And what I find ironic with some people is they don't want to tell somebody when they're bugging them because they don't want to hurt their feelings or upset them.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're being upset every day. So they put up, you know, say with somebody's music at the cubicle next door is loud. And then one day they decide, I'm not going to take that anymore. And they blow up at them.
Yeah.
And so first off, it's acknowledging that there's a concern and expressing it in a respectful way. Like rather than shut up your stupid music, you know what? I need to tell you that sometimes you play your music so loud that it's hard for me to hear customers on the phone.
Hard to concentrate,
is there
right?
something that we, you know, is there a way that we, you know, maybe you could wear earphones or maybe when I'm going to get on the phone with a customer, could I let you know that? So there's very respectful ways to let people know how they're impacting you. The other part too that we often miss is apologizing. When it's our bad, how about we take responsibility for that and apologize for our part? And
sincerely apologize.
Sincerely,
I've been married for a long time. sincerely apologize.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that would be the key too. I mean, I think sometimes people just say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I know I'm injecting some opinion
here. Yes.
But I think that the sincere apology is probably the hardest apology.
Well, yes, for many people. And people say things like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Or,
yeah, that's not
yeah
an apology.
That isn't. So it's really understanding and respecting, you know, how you're impacting somebody and the true commitment to not do it again. Because I always ask people, when you know that is impacting someone negatively, what is your intention?
Yeah, why
are you
doing
you keep
it?
Doing it?
Why do you keep doing that?
Yeah, so it's really about, you know, trying to work it out amongst yourselves. And oftentimes we are oblivious to the impact that we do have on other people. And so we walk through the world, no news is good news. So, you know, if no one's telling us that we should do something different, we think, hey, everything
that's
must
fine.
Be good.
everything is wonderful.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Everything
and,
is awesome.
And I think that's fair in many ways. So to be, we need to let people know when there's an issue.
So where do people in the work world, because it seems to me, we could talk about work world or family world. Let's start with the work world. Where do they go to get assistance if they need it?
Well, what I encourage people to do is talk to the person that you're concerned with in the first place. Talk to them and don't just have one conversation. Be prepared to have two or three because oftentimes we're not used to people being honest with us and respectful. So it might take, you know, two or three conversations to work things out. If that doesn't work it out, then that's what supervisors, leaders are for. They can help you manage that. And also there's HR departments that can help provide coaching and processes.
Well, what about the employee, though, who feels, right?
Mm-hmm,
I think it's a legitimate concern, who feels that you know, if they do that, it's going to negatively impact their performance review or their assessment.
Well, in most cases, it won't.
That's why I use the word feel. You can feel like something's going to happen when it's not a reality.
Yeah, you know? And I think part of it is to it's about exploring, like checking things out. Because I won't say that there aren't circumstances that you can have some negative consequences by pursuing conflict. And that's the thing, is that people need to sort that out. That's why I wrote a chapter in the book on assessing conflict, to help people really think through what is a conflict, where could they get help, and what might be the consequences, good or bad, of pursuing a resolution. Because, you know, sometimes moving on to another department or another company or another profession, you know,
yeah,
is,
well,
is,
invitation,
you know,
to your preferred future, I
well,
like to
sure,
call it.
Yeah.
Suddenly you don't have
yeah.
a job anymore
yeah.
and you got to make a change.
Yeah.
You end up in conflict.
But I think there's lots that we can do when we actually address it. And for too many of us, we leave it too long.
Yeah,
and,
fair enough. Fair enough.
And then it is far more escalated than when we address it sooner.
What about in a situation, and I know you talked about it, you know, address it sooner, but mm-hmm. Other areas of conflict too. I mean, this doesn't just apply to the working world, this applies to the family world too.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, families, you know, if you're having conflict in your family, sometimes there's a family member that can help.
Yes.
I know that there's lots of large families, brothers and sisters out there that do almost a conciliation or a mediation in their family. They're the peacemaker. You can also go to your church community if you've got a community of faith.
Yeah.
That there's sometimes elders or pastors or reverends that will help. There's certainly all kinds of services in Winnipeg, like mediation services, a number of lawyers that provide mediation, that, you know, there's all kinds of resources out there. And I certainly see an influx, I mentioned we're baby boomers, where there's estate crises, you know, in a lot of families where mom and dad are gone, and what do we do with the estate? Or mom and dad are going to retire from the farm, and how do we split up the property in a fair way?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So,
and we can't deal with that here, but I mean,
no,
those
but,
are all riddled with conflict,
yes.
right? I mean, you have family, you have emotion,
yes.
you have logic, you, I mean, there's lots going on, right?
And so my point is that whatever kind of conflict there is that you're experiencing, whether it's family, whether it's workplace, whether it's community, there are places and organizations that can help. And in the very worst conflict, you know, if somebody harms you or steals from you, there's still the police, you know,
yeah,
like
so
there's still,
there are things
there's,
you can
there's,
do.
You know, societal
and,
needs
and I
as
guess
well.
That goes back to that passive aggressive assertive
yes.
behavior bit. You know, you need to recognize the things you can do and
yes.
and maybe focus more on the assertive side.
Yes.
To solve problems. I noticed in your book, you got into a chapter said the best is yet to come.
Yes.
It's so nice and positive and
well,
future thinking.
Well, and really what I was about with that is that I've seen people really lose everything when they stay stuck in a conflict. I tell a story in the book about a man who had a house who, and the house got damaged because it was built wrong and it flooded. And he spent so much time fighting with the city and the builders that finally his wife and children left him.
Okay.
And right. and he told me the story in a workshop and he said, you know what, Pat, tell everybody that you know that he said, if I could go back and do a do-over, I would not have spent all that time.
Mm-hmm. Pat, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can get a hold of me through my website. That's Pat Hirst, H-I-R-S-T, P-A-T-H-I-R-S-T.com. And they can get a hold of me very easily.
Very easily. Pat, I want to thank you for joining me on the show. But before we end off, because this is Richard Frisette for Success, do you have a final thought for our listeners?
Well, I like to make people think about this idea that we live in this world that is full of racism and ageism. And sexism. We're seeing that every day. And I would like people to have a loving kindness and share some more respectism, kindism, and loveism.
That's excellent, excellent advice. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. And obviously, I'd like to continue to thank Pat for joining me and thank my listeners. If you have an idea for a show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And as usual, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.